This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
This wasn't anything that I was comfortable doing, David, okay?
I don't understand. Why is it on the air right now?
Because I don't think it's a good idea.
You don't think it's a good idea?
No, I don't think making fun of Perry Como the Monday after this man died is...
But Perry... Are we on the air now?
We are on the... Okay, yeah, we're on the air, all right? So if you want to table this...
No, here's my point. Because I can't table it. I'm flying out of town tonight. Perry Como, how old was this guy? 88?
He was what? He was 88, yeah.
This guy was a part of a generation of people that nobody... They're old people. The only people that listened to his music was old.
Yeah, I understand that.
Then why aren't you making fun of the guy?
I don't understand why I need to make fun of... This cat died. There's other people that dig his music. Whatever, man. I mean, let's just move on. You know?
The guy... Look, at Second City. Mister, you know, this is the part about you that I don't like.
Look, David, we can talk about this after you get back from your trip. We can talk...
No, this is the part about you that I don't like.
Yeah, let's let everybody know now what about me you don't like.
You know something? You brought it on. You know
why? Because I refused to come on doing shtick on Perry Como dying.
Second City, which I think might have some people on it a little bit more talented than you. Would you agree with that?
Of course I would.
Okay, Second City did Perry Como shtick.
And Second City hasn't been on for a few years.
No, but when they were on, they did Perry Como shtick.
So they did Perry Como shtick. I know the Perry Como shtick they did. It was very funny. The guy died, man.
So what difference does that make? Oh, wait a second. I got it. So you think it's an open wound that the audience has to get over before you can make fun of it. Is that it? We got another Oklahoma City bombing, Phil? Is that what you're thinking?
No, I'm not thinking that at all. I'm thinking that there's no percentage in making fun of some old cat that just croaked and some of the old people that like his music. Whatever, man. I mean, he's dead.
If he was still alive, would you make fun of him?
If he was still alive...
Well, you don't have to think about that, do you? If he was still alive, would you make fun of him?
Why? What am I going to make fun of Perry Como for, man? The guy hasn't been seen or heard from about 20 years. Nobody's heard from this guy. All of a sudden, hey, and now I'd like to make fun of a guy that nobody's heard of in 20 years.
All right. The guy's dead. Now everybody knows who he is. Now why won't you do it? I got it. Because you're afraid that people won't dig it. Because he's 88 and he's dead. And
he's 88, or he was 88, and he's croaked and...
What about these old-timers you're talking about at Diggers Music? You know who they are?
Do I know who they are? They're like my parents.
Okay, they're like your parents. Yeah, exactly. Now, do you know who these people are?
Other than what I just...
They are the people that are infecting and dragging down every single AM radio station that you're on. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I think that's a general...
No, that's not a generalization. Every AM station that we are trying to save with your radio show... These old people are calling up, hey, can we hear, Glenn Miller? Can we get some Perry Como? That's what they're doing.
So what you want me to do then is come on here, do some Perry Como shtick like 2 days after this poor man died, and that's going to do what? It's going to drive all those old folks off.
You got it. Oh, boy, what a brain surgeon. You know something? I'd marry you if you weren't a guy. How smart you are. Exactly. What the hell do you think I'm talking about? Hey, Phil, why don't you just go ahead and play Lawrence Welk music for the 3 hours of your show if you're that concerned with the old folks, dispense with all this bullcrap you're doing, and just put the Lawrence Welk on?
Because I'm doing the show that I do, okay? It doesn't make any difference whether I play Lawrence Welk or not. I just think it's gratuitous for me to come on...
Look, everybody in the country is doing some kind of Perry Como shtick. Why won't you?
I told you why I won't. Because I don't see any percentage in screwing with this guy's... You know, I mean...
Oh, look, you were going to say it. But you didn't say it. The memory of Perry Como, yes. Let it ring hallowed in the Phil Hendry Show. The memory of Perry Como. Is that it? Don't have any answer for me, as usual. As usual, I got to come on the air. I got to make you see reason, and then you got no answer for me. And we're 10 minutes into your stinking show when we could have been doing the Perry Como shtick.
Look it, man. Can I say something?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead. Let's waste another 10 minutes. We're having a conversation here, Phil, when you should be doing the Perry Como shtick. Where's that retard?
What retard?
Where's Bud?
Bud's out in the hall.
I want to bring him in.
Get Bud, will you? Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Look at man. It's like...
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me. Tell me about your sensitivity.
Can I just say something without you butting in?
Go ahead.
Perry Como, even in life, wasn't all that controversial. He sang some tunes. He was a kickback guy. He had a TV show.
Well, you know something? I'm beginning to think you were a fan of his.
I wasn't a fan, and I wasn't a non-fan. I didn't turn his music on. I'd crank it up, man, when I heard it on the radio. I didn't go buy his music. It's just that when the guy was alive, he was just sort of this cat that sang music, and then he
croaked.
Yeah, basically, then he croaked. And, you know, I mean, why kick a guy when he's down?
Why kick a guy when he's down? You mean when he's down 6 feet down? Is that what you're doing? Now, that's the first funny thing you've said, and you've been on the air 6 minutes.
What I'm saying here, man, is if there's a reason to satirize or to impugn or lampoon somebody, let's do it, okay? Can you give me a reason why we should screw around with Perry Como?
Yes, I can give you a million reasons.
Well, just give me one.
Okay. First of all, the main fans of this guy are a bunch of old World War II people who think their stuff doesn't smell. You know what's going on these days, don't you? All these World War II people, all of a sudden, they're God's gift to creation because they did the Saving Ryan deal and they blew up D-Day or whatever the hell they did. Now we got to hear from about this Pearl Harbor. And not only that, on these AM stations that you're on that I'm telling you about, all they ever do is call with their old-sounding voices. Now we have an opportunity to finally blast them off the dial. And what are you doing? Well, the guys, you know, I hate to kick a guy when he's down, and Perry Como, what a sweet guy he was.
I didn't say he was a sweet guy.
I think your favorite song is It's Impossible, isn't it? All right. I bet you liked that Catch a Falling Star, didn't you?
No, I didn't. There's nothing, man. I mean, when the guy's show came, I was a kid, okay? I was a little kid, all right?
Well, your folks watched it.
Yeah, I guess my folks had it on TV.
I bet you went, oh, Mommy, it's Perry Como, and you're jumping up and down.
No, I didn't.
Then put the stick on, and I don't want to have to argue with you about it.
Where's Bud?
Where is he?
Come here, Bud.
What do you want?
Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
Okay, get closer to the mic. I can't hear you.
I'm right here.
Okay, Bud. I want you... This is David.
No.
Okay, Bud, here's what I want you to do. I want you to introduce Perry Como with It's Impossible. Just do that. Just say that. And then Phil, when he does that, he hit the song. Are you guys with me on this?
Yes, we heard you. Okay, Bud, you get that?
I don't know how you want me to do.
Say, and now here's Perry Como with It's Impossible.
And now Perry Como, It's Impossible.
What's funny about that? Just if I maybe...
What?
What's funny about that?
Turn the music down. What did you just ask me?
What was funny about that, man?
You got the retard doing the thing. What do you mean, what's funny about that? Do it again.
David, all I...
Do it again.
Let me cue it up. Bud, don't leave. Come here.
What do you want me to do? I gotta go back and go bathroom and everything.
Just come here, will you?
Don't tell him he's going to take a crap until he's done doing this bit.
Jeez. You have to take a crap. It's number one.
Well, whatever you got to do.
Okay, Bud.
Your same thing, Mr. Hall?
Yeah, the same thing. And now here's Perry Como with It's Impossible.
Go ahead, Bud.
And now I'm Perry Como, possible.
The hell is this? Get the right song on.
I'm sorry.
I don't want that bull crap. What was that? That Catch a Falling Star? Forget that. It's only funny with It's Impossible. Have him do it again.
Look, I'm tired of this. I gotta go to...
Do it again!
And now, Como and Cotton Possibility.
Yeah! Now that's radio comedy at its height.
Great. Can we move on?
Turn off the music.
Can we move on?
You know, you got an attitude, Phil. I'm doing everything I can to dig this pile of crap show of yours out of the sewer. You got an attitude. Okay? That retard is saving your show. And maybe I don't want to move on.
I'll tell you what's killing the show right now.
What? I guess you're going to say it's me.
No, you keep referring to him as a retard.
Well, what? Okay, I'm sorry. The developmentally disabled guy that you hired to read your news for you, whatever the hell you want me to say. This is great. Go ahead, bud. Do some stick.
What do you want me to do?
Just say something, bud.
What you doing today, bud?
I got out of bed, and then I come over here.
Oh, God.
God, do your break. What a pussy.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now, Phil Hendry.
That's my philosophy. Sometimes there just isn't anything there to make fun of, and sometimes you can back it off, you know? In other words, Perry Como dying, okay. But there is a propensity on the part of some people, oh, we got to do some kind of shtick with that. The funniest shtick I ever saw with Perry Como was the Second City TV when they did that whole he's laying in a bed with the gold cape on, and he's so laid back. In other words, he sings his songs from bed. Perry Como's so kicked back, he sings his songs from a cot. It was hysterical. That's the last and funniest Perry Como shtick I ever saw. All the rest of it blows. And the cat's 88. He had Alzheimer's. He's dead. What's the last time you heard from the guy? When's the last time anybody heard from this guy? It's been millions of years, literally millions of years, since Perry Como had any impact at all on the culture. So let the poor guy rest in peace. Jeez. Rather than just look at rooting around in a crazed manner trying to find some kind of number to do on a guy. So here's an interesting, speaking of culture, this happened this past weekend, and I thought it was interesting. I don't know whether you will or not, but to me it was fascinating. So we're playing this game called Taboo with the kids. Now, Taboo is a game like Password. It's called Taboo because there are certain words you may not use. For instance, if the name you're trying to guess is Sigmund Freud, you're trying to get your teammates to guess Sigmund Freud, it'll also have a list of words you may not use in giving your clues. And they may be pivotal words, like if the name is Sigmund Freud, it may say psychology, mind, dreams, significant words to Sigmund Freud and his life. And you can't use those words. You have to find another word. But that's really not that important, other than to say that we're playing this game with the kids, and our 15-year-old came across the name, and I was on his team, so he had to give clues about Hugh Hefner. And the coolest thing, and I say cool, not because I got anything against Hugh Hefner, but I'm really interested in the way generations work. This is a Generation Y kid. This is the name that somebody came up with for people who are currently in their sort of preteen, teen, early 20s state of development. The Generation Y people born anywhere from the early 80s on. Why are they called Generation Y? Because of Generation X. Generation X was called Generation X because of the whole brand X thing. Nobody knew what to name them that. You know, there was baby boomers, and nobody could come up with a name for the generation that came after. So they said X. Of course, the kids think, well, that's because they were extreme. Well, okay. That's why. So then comes Generation Y. These kids are the epitome of what everybody suspects about succeeding generations. Their values are completely different. They're not bad values. They're more conservative from, say, the baby boomer parents that had them. So we come to the name Hugh Hefner, and the oldest one, 15, goes, okay, he's trying to think of a clue. He goes, okay, this guy is a total pimp. This guy lives in a big house. He pimps women out. All this. This was his idea and his concept of Hugh Hefner, a pimp. And I said, that's really interesting, man. I mean, in my generation, my day, Hefner was looked upon as a guy who, I don't know, had some sort of a libertine class about him. And the 13-year-old looks at me and goes, class? He's got like 8 girlfriends. What's classy about that? So these kids now, Generation Y, there's absolutely nothing about Hugh Hefner that they value other than the fact that maybe they're so young they don't quite get how cool it might be to live in Holmby Hills with 53 or 54 or whatever last count. I forgot. I just came up with a round number. 54 naked women. That's it. Yes. Chesty naked women. And I don't know whether that's it or not. I think these guys, they all get sex, and they certainly, as soon as they can, they want to have as much of it as they can. But I think this is the message they got about Hugh Hefner. The guy's a pimp. He's not a classy, martini-wielding, deboner kind of a guy. He's a pimp. And nothing fancier than that. So Which, by the way, I've always felt that way about Hefner. So thanks a lot, kids, for living. No, I'm kidding. I didn't always feel that way. But I'll tell you one thing about the guy. I always resented Hugh Hefner because I never really wanted anybody to tell me what was beautiful in a woman or what it was this month I was supposed to buy to get a chick to dig me. Very early on, I got really angry about that. And then in People vs. Larry Flint, where he, in the film, where, you know, Larry Flint articulates the very thing. He says that Playboy is mocking you. Playboy mocks you because you don't have a sports car, dude. You don't have the latest sound system. And you don't drink freaking vodka, maybe. So you're being made fun of in a lot of ways. And you're cut out of a larger loop or a smaller loop or whatever loop. I don't know. You're not in that world. So I don't know. When he said that this guy is a pimp, I actually welled up with pride. Get a load of that. Because Hefner, to me, is kind of like that. He's sort of a pimp. And he's like yesterday. And I resent him for having as much fun as he's had. I hate him for the women that he's made love to. I can't stand his big house and all of his flamingos, his barbecues, his pipe smoking, his martini drinking, and the, you know, endless amounts of sex that he has. It just really makes me angry. Well, why, Phil, if you had that much more sex, would you be okay? No, if he just, he needs to stop. Well, how about if you get to have, no, I don't care. In other words, if we offered you the amount of sex that he's had, no, I don't want that. I want him to stop. I want him to come back down to us. Rather, us go up to him. He's got to come back down to our level. Of course, how old is he? 103? How much sex is this guy? Oh, yeah, Viagra, I forgot. He's a big proponent of that, I understand, right? But no longer do I hear him speak. Of course, I always thought he had a very strange speaking voice, too. If you ever heard Hefner speak, he's got a very odd way of speaking. Very strange-sounding guy. I don't know what it is. It's like he had lockjaw once, and they finally got the crowbar part. He talks kind of like, I don't know what it is. And they said, okay, Hef, I think we can fix it. All right, guys, whatever it takes, because I got doing the big thing tonight on, I know, on Arsenio. Okay, it's open. Now whatever we want to put in there. No, I'm kidding. So he, this cat is too much. Anyway, so I didn't need that guy telling me what to do with my life, all right? So way to go, kids. The other thing we did was I got a computer virus. How am I going to get rid of this thing? It was at, whoops. You know, one of my friends sent me an email. I guess these viruses, do they hit everybody in the address book? They just go out to everybody in the address book. Is that how this works? Because it had the name of somebody that I know. And then they get the email about a half hour later. Oops. We're so very sorry, but we had a thing, and now you're infected. And, gee, we're awfully sorry. I thought about calling her and saying, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about my computer virus that you gave me? I said it to Maria. She said, oh, don't do it. She didn't mean it. I don't care whether she meant it or not. I want somebody to come over there and clean this thing up. I can't use my computer because I got a virus because people are out there with nothing better to do. You talk about no life. I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. The Internet has given millions, hundreds of millions of people who otherwise would have been remanded to some kind of state care something to do. People that have babbled to themselves in Pershing Square, the guy that was talking to himself online there at Taco Bell, the people that, you know, they used to drool, the guys pushing shopping carts, all of them now have websites. All of them now have legitimate political platforms via a website. And if they don't have a website, they're sticking viruses on in there. You know, Ronald Reagan, when he shut down all the nut houses and he let all the nuts into the street, we said, well, this is a horrible thing, and we're going to have to put them all back in the nut house. No, you don't. We got the Internet now. They can all go online. They're in a cyber cafe, just come wandering in off the street with their shopping cart and their wool cap, drooling into the nachos and cheese, and start throwing some viruses out there, man. Set up a web page. You know, it's fine. Come on in. The swimming's great. The water's beautiful. Come on in and mess. And my big mistake was buying a freaking computer in the first place, because I got news for you. The only reason why I use it is email. I got online the first 6 months. I surfed the web. I found it was so boring I couldn't believe it. And then I started sending out my emails. Without email, I got no reason to have that damn thing, other than the odd time that I want to look up the name of somebody or, you know, like, I don't know, hieroglyphics, you know, who killed who or so, I don't know. Or just the odd porn, you know, when Maria's out of town. Just other than that, like every other night, you know, I'm there and just kind of have to erase the history. But other than that, I got nothing to do with it. I wouldn't do anything with the Internet. Although I am setting up my own website. By the way, I've got this idea, Amazon.com. What do you think of this? Sell books.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
With a gentleman from Corona on the line whose father-in-law is visiting from out of town for a couple of weeks. Is that right, Steve?
That is correct, sir.
And he is going to be visiting you and your his daughter, correct? Your wife is his daughter?
That is correct, my wife, April.
And now he's coming into town, and he's a basketball fan. Are you a basketball fan?
Sir, I'm not much of a basketball fan.
Now, I know that the Mavericks and Spurs are playing tonight. Dallas and San Antonio are playing this evening, not in a too very long time from now. And you're going into business. Now, he's a basketball fan that you are aiming to please because you're going into business with him.
That's correct. The point is that he has about a $5 million in business that he wants to throw to our company. Constructing an office park in Galveston, Texas, and I really want this job. I really want the contract because I think it'll be very good for our company. And so he knows this, and he knows that we've been talking about it. So he has decided to throw a little tester at me. What I asked my wife was, I just asked her a simple question: who is your father rooting for in the ball game tonight? So she asked him, and he told her, and he made the following statement. And I knew that. See, just when things are going good for you, I believe that God will test you. And he said, if Steve is any kind of a man, he'll know which team I'm rooting for.
That's it.
That's it. That's all he said. And the situation is such that I was talking to him about doing the commercial construction on an office park that he wants to build. I really want the business. He throws this at me, and I'm supposed to know which team I should root for? See if I...
Well, what if you... Your father-in-law is a fan of one of these two teams?
Oh, yes, he is. He's a huge basketball fan.
But he's from Houston.
He is from Houston, yeah.
But he's rooting for one of the other, either Dallas or San Antonio.
That is correct. Now, if I pick the wrong team, I know what he's going to say because he said it a million times. And I know the phrase. I can hear it in my mind. And it's a very insulting thing.
What does he say?
Well, he likes to joke that the last sound decision that I ever made was marrying April, you know.
The last sound decision. Boy, this is a father-in-law who likes to mess with you, huh?
Well, he does. I know he gets a thrill putting a dress on me is what I like to say. And what I wanted to do is to run home and get some decorations for the game room for tonight's game, but I don't know which team decorations to buy. And I was hoping I'd call your program, that you tell me who I could root for or what I should do.
Well, I there's two teams playing tonight. Your father-in-law is from Houston. There's the San Antonio Spurs and the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, so...
I mean, I wouldn't know...
But which team would he want? What's the team in Dallas?
The team in Dallas is the Mavericks.
And what about San Antonio?
You don't know anything about...
I don't know anything about basketball.
Okay, the San Antonio Spurs.
See, I'm thinking that maybe he's going for the nickname, the Spurs. It sounds the cowboy, it sounds manly.
All right, but the Mavericks, a Maverick is kind of like the gambler.
Yeah.
Like a roustabout, so that's kind of manly, too.
Well, I can't... God, you know, I don't know why... Does Houston have a basketball team?
Yes, they do. They have the Rockets.
Well, who would people in Houston root for? Because something tells me that people in Houston would probably root for Dallas because they're both Houston and Dallas are similar, and San Antonio's a little bit smaller. But I just don't understand why he'd do this to me.
Well, I can tell that you're upset. I don't know who people in Houston would root for. I think that what you're upset about, though, goes deeper than just if I may be... This is, you're allowing this guy to...
This man happens to be Mr. Henry, my father-in-law. He's important to my wife. He can be a very, very pivotal thing to me in terms of business for the next few months. And all I want to do is know which kind of decoration to put up in the game room.
Well, if he's coming over to watch the game tonight, what time is he coming over?
He's coming over at 5.
Okay, 5 o'clock Pacific, okay. The game is starting in about 20 minutes. I wouldn't know how to help you on...
Well, who could it be?
Why? Let me ask you, why are you upset?
Because ever since I married his daughter, I have tried to prove myself to him in so many different ways because I knew that he did not approve of our marriage. He wanted her to marry someone who was in business with him at the time. She, you know, went against her father's wishes. And
okay, so you got a typical situation with an in-law here. The father doesn't like you, huh?
I've always tried to show him that I'm a worthy person. I've tried to show him many, many times that I would treat his daughter well.
Have you?
I believe that I have. I mean, I've not made as much money as probably he. We got a little tiny house in Corona, It's a tract home. I do construction trade. I've tried as much as I can to be as much of a man to her as I can be. And all he ever does is stick it in me, twist it, and break it off. Stick it in me, twist it, and break it off. It's all he ever does. So,
and you want to go into business with this guy?
This is a very big, big piece of money. If we can score this...
Did it ever occur to you that this cat is dangling this contract in front of you and he may not be serious about it?
No, I know that he's serious because I've done work for him before. I've done work for him before, so I know he's serious about this.
Is this the biggest job?
I wouldn't say it's the biggest, but this year is going to help me out because there's been a downturn in construction trade. But I can't...
And so this father-in-law, when you asked, what's your favorite team, he told your wife to say, if Steve's any kind of a man, he'll know which team I'm rooting for.
That's right. And I don't know if it's Dallas, I don't know if it's San Antonio.
Are you crying?
Nah. I'm sorry,
It sounds to me like you're crying.
I'm having a hard time.
Well, all right. I guess it comes a time in every man's life where he's just going to have to roll the dice, you know. I would say...
I think the people in Houston would probably root for Dallas. I just don't see that...
Why? Because San Antonio's further away or something? San Antonio's closer to Houston than Dallas is.
I don't know what to do.
What if you put the wrong decorations up?
Then he would make fun of me for the rest of the night. It would be nonstop. It would never end. Put a dress on that boy. Next time, bring your husband. Take your high heels off. You might do better. All that stuff. One time, I can tell you, we were in a health club that he belonged to. And I came from wearing a shower. I came out. He pulled my underwear out, looked inside, and said, yep, it's a boy.
Did that in front of people?
Did it right in front of people, yeah.
Sounds to me like a guy that's very hard to please. And it sounds to me like a guy who delights in screwing with you. And it sounds to me like a very odious man, you know.
It's my father-in-law. I have to honor him. My wife wants him over to the house. I just wish that I could watch a basketball game with him and have him be not mean to me.
You're not even a sports fan, though. Why would you even want to sit down and watch basketball with him?
Just to honor him and...
And get the $5 million construction contract.
That's far of it, yes, sir.
All right, hold on, Steve, okay?
Yeah.
Hold on, okay?
All right.
1-800-449-8686. If you're any kind of a man, you'd know which team I'm which team is, well, I don't know. Who would a guy from Houston be rooting for, Dallas or San Antonio? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, we're talking about the Dallas Maverick and San Antonio Spur basketball game. And you want to know, Steve Bozell is a listener of ours from Corona, and you want to know, Steve, which team to root for.
It's the team my father's rooting for.
Right, but you don't know which team your father's rooting for. You asked your wife, your father-in-law, right?
My father-in-law, yes.
Okay, you asked your wife, and he told her if Steve's any kind of a man, he'll know which team I'm rooting for.
That's correct. That's not the first time that he's done that either, because during the Super Bowl, I'd ask my wife the same thing. Who do you think your dad's rooting for? She said, I think the New York Giants. So I went out, and I did all the things that you could do. I put up New York Giant pennants and banners. I went out and had one of these Carvel ice cream cakes made up that had the New York Giant football team logo on it. We did everything that we could, and he comes into the house and says, what pants you put up this stuff? I'm a Baltimore Raven fan, always have been. And all I remember is just I broke down at that moment. I ran from the room. I missed about half of the football game because I was devastated, as I'm sure you'd understand.
Well, I can understand being offended.
All I've wanted to do is be a good son-in-law to him.
All right. Well, keep a lid on it here, brother. Let me take a phone call, Steve, and we'll find out. I don't know which team would be which. This is Karen. Karen, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. How are you?
Good, Karen.
I just
do you have a radio turned up?
No, my radio is not turned up.
Okay.
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay. Real good.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Steve, this is a comment for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Your father-in-law is not a good person. And you need to look at him and tell him that you are not going to put up with his nonsense anymore. That you are a man. You are a good man. You've done everything for your wife. You don't need to do any more. You don't need to make any more money. Money is not important. And if your wife...
I've always tried to do the very best thing for April. We have two beautiful children.
Well,
Steve,
listen.
Yeah.
If your wife does not understand you standing up to your father-in-law and saying that I'm not going to put up with this, then there's something wrong with your wife, too. Your wife should be standing...
Oh, no, please don't say that. My wife, April, she's a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Okay, I'm sure she is. Steve,
she has she has an eating disorder, which we knew she had some problems in that direction, and I think we've got it under control now.
Was she anorexic?
No, she eats too much. She has a, I guess, doctor says it's compulsive. But I still think she's beautiful as the day I married her.
You do. You sound like a very good man. You go ahead, Karen. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I just want to say, beauty is not how you look. Beauty is what kind of a person you are. Do you understand?
I know.
You're going to drive yourself sick, have a heart attack, and then your kids will have no father.
I know that my wife has put on a lot of weight, and I don't mean to be, well, I shouldn't say this, but let's say that when we are together, alone, I always sort of just imagine her the way she used to be, and that helps me finish what I got to do. But
well, don't think of making love to your wife as finish what I got to do.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. A man does have a duty to his woman in that regard, even though it's been a long time since she looked good. I mean, but I love her very much. And
is your father-in-law sensing some hostility to your wife?
No, sir. I treat her very good. I treat her very... He come in for the Super Bowl party, Karen, and he saw the New York Giant banners, and he started calling me every kind. I was sissy this, and next time bring
because
your husband.
You let him do it, Steve. You can't let him do it anymore. Steve, you have to make a choice, and your choice has to be... I'm going to let him do this to me, or I'm going to stand up to him and say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Goodbye.
Sounds like good advice, Steve. Sounds like good advice.
Treat me nicely or goodbye.
Can I ask you?
And don't think twice about it.
Can I ask you a question?
What's that?
When your wife has gotten fat, my wife's gotten, I should not say fat because the therapist told us don't use words like that. They're not reinforcing. But when she's got big, how do I mean, is it all right to use a Playboy or something, anything to kind of get my mind?
All right, we don't have to ask this lady that question, okay?
Well, I'm just asking. I'm asking anybody at this point.
I don't know, man. I mean, what are you saying? Your wife's not attractive to you anymore?
Oh, boy. Man, she's big.
So that's probably part of your problem, too, Steve, is you have more than just a problem with your father-in-law. You have a little bit more than that.
My wife's got a little bit more. That's the whole problem, you know. God, I love you.
She's fat.
I'm not supposed to use a word.
Oh, come on. She's fat.
That's not a reinforcing word. I will not use that.
All right. She's overweight. She's obese. What's the word?
She's expressing herself through the food medium. You ever heard anything like that, Karen? They told me to call her Pleasantly Plump.
All right, well, Pleasantly Plump is actually cute. Is she Pleasantly Plump?
No, no, no. No, no, no.
I think that you are, thinking probably about maybe separating from her, and you're using some excuses to back out of your relationship.
That's a very good point.
But, you know, you need to definitely talk to somebody about your problems because you're very stressed, and you're going to make yourself very sick.
She's way past the Pleasantly Plump stage, mister.
I got the impression of that. Yeah.
And just one quick thing.
Yes, ma'am.
When you marry somebody, you do make a commitment. And that's
true.
Supposed to be for life. And if you married in the sight of God, then that's what you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're supposed to accept
that. Okay, but she's not. The woman that I married, though, is different from the one that's sitting in the kitchen
now. She's the same person.
Okay, see, technically, though, couldn't I say, and I don't mean to be stupid, I guess you could say there's two of her now. There used to just be one, but I don't want to make a joke or anything.
Well, then don't make a joke, okay? What are you trying to say?
I don't think it's the same woman.
Steve, the best thing I could tell you to do is to go get marriage counseling.
What do I do about the basketball game?
Oh, forget the basketball game.
That's not your problem.
Absolutely.
All
right, Karen.
That's not your problem.
Karen, thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
There's twice as much of a woman to deal with than when I married originally.
Look it, pal.
Now you're mad.
All right. I'm sorry. I don't mean to raise my voice. The trip is this. It's the same woman. You can't say it's a different woman just because she's packed on another, you know.
Probably about 80 pounds.
All right, 80 pounds. You can't say it's different.
Well, isn't that, though, technically not the same person? Because the first one was 135?
The first one was 135, and now the new one is...
Well over two.
I don't know how you can do that. Lisa, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Lisa?
I'm just calling in that poor man that was crying about his father-in-law.
Yes, ma'am. Steve, go ahead.
What's with the wife? I mean, why isn't she defending him? Why is he so stressed out about a basketball game? I'm from Houston. I have no clue who they would pick.
Do you know who? Are you from Houston, Texas?
Yes.
Who would they play? Who's the favorite basketball team in Houston?
Rockets.
No, God. The one other than the Rocket team, what's the other?
San Antonio and Dallas. Do you have any idea, Lisa, who anybody in Houston would root for between San Antonio and Dallas?
Well, I have to say San Antonio because Houston does not like Dallas.
Houston doesn't like Dallas?
No.
Okay, thank God. Now,
are you the person with the wife?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, well, what's with her? What's with the father-in-law?
I don't know. My father-in-law is a man who has always been testing me and always been testing me. Telling me that I'm a pussy. Okay?
Well, my father would never treat my husband like that.
Well, great, okay. I should have married you. I don't know what to say, okay?
Hey,
I'm stuck with the guy I got.
Well, go for San Antonio. You're probably on the safe side.
Well, doesn't that make you happy?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it makes me happy.
Hey,
what are you laughing at? Why are you laughing? Why do you think it's so funny that a man has a wife with an eating disorder and a father-in-law that doesn't respect it? Why is that funny?
Look, because you're staying with her.
Yeah, you want me to divorce her?
Yeah, that would be easier.
You get married for life. I don't know about where you come from, but you get married for life.
Look, you're calling the wrong show. You need to be calling Dr. Laura.
Dr. Laura?
Yeah.
I know somebody that called her once. He blew his brains out.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
I called Dr. Laura. She hung up on me.
Okay, great. San Antonio, man, that's your team, baby, if you're from wherever. And they're going to win anyway, and go Lakers. Okay, I'm joking. Yeah, well, no, I'm not joking. I was hoping for a King upset, actually, but 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.